You're listening to a sermon audio from Cypress Church. You can listen to more sermons on our website or by subscribing to our podcast on iTunes. We hope you enjoy the sermon and invite you to attend one of our services at 9 and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Good morning. I know it's fun to greet each other forever. But sometime we have to settle down and have a sermon, right? My name is Bob Vroon, and I think a lot of you may know me and a lot of you may not. But I'm retired pastor and a member of Cypress Church for, how long have we been members, Beth? 2 years, 3 years? 2.5. Very good. And I'm part of the preaching team. And so this morning I'm going to bring you a message from the Word of God and also a testimony. Our scripture is Luke 18, 35 to 43. You may want to turn to that and kind of put your finger in there. And before we get into that, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to study your word together, to learn things from your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 18, verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So Jesus was coming into Jericho, and there was a crowd gathered around him. And he was probably teaching them along the way. And many of them wanted to hear every word he had to say. They were hanging on his words. But it all gets interrupted by this noisy guy by the side of the road. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Over and over again he says this. His eyes may not work, but his voice is doing fine. People in the crowd get annoyed, you know. "Hey, man, you know, stifle it. We want to hear the teacher over here," you know. He did not stifle it, however. At some point, Jesus stops and tells him to bring the beggar to him. And he asks him a question, I think kind of a strange question on the surface of it anyway. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I'm thinking, you know, now, seriously, is there anybody here who, when you read that passage, you say, "I haven't got a clue what the man wants"? Right? We all know. And I think, well, I'm sure Jesus knew as well. So why does he ask him this question? We don't know for sure, but I think maybe it has to do with this. It takes faith to ask for a miracle. See, to begin with, you wouldn't ask a guy for a miracle if you didn't think he could do it, right? If you just thought, "Oh, this guy, he can't do anything, you know, he's just a regular guy like me. I mean, what, you know," then you wouldn't ask him. See, and, you know, later on, Jesus would say, "Your faith has healed you," he says to the guy. So, you know, I think Jesus is looking for faith. And that's one reason for the question. There may be another reason. This maybe is a little more speculation, but might work. Jesus knows that this man's life is not going to be the same ever again once he's healed. Okay, that's the way things work with healing, right? When you experience a miracle, your life will never be the same. Okay, get ready for that. He won't be blind in this guy's case, right? So he can't be a beggar anymore. He's going to have to go to work, make a living like the rest of us, right? And have to struggle with the work world and all the good things there. May have to get his own place to live. I mean, stuff is going to change. It's for the better, but you know, sometimes people are scared of change even if they know it's for the better, right? That's just the way life is. Well, then there's also the spiritual change that's going to happen in this man. I mean, we read in the passage that after he's healed, he follows Jesus. And you know, following Jesus, as he points out every here and there, has its costs, okay? Then and now, perhaps a little more in that particular place at that particular time. For all we know, this man could have died a martyr's death a few years later, right? Because of his faith. Or been more likely been thrown out of the synagogue, right? But even if not, you can bet that his life was forever changed. And so it may be that Jesus is in effect saying to this man, do you think you're really ready for these changes? See? Are you ready for this? And the man comes back right away quick. Lord, I want to see. All right. And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He heals him. He says, receive your sight. Okay? And then tells the man that his faith has healed him. Of course, I mean, it's the power of God that has healed him, but his faith was a condition for receiving that healing. I remember in seminary, we had to read this guy, this liberal theologian, because they wanted us to know what the other people think. Okay? And so there was this guy, Ernst Troeltsch. Ernst Troeltsch, T-R-O-E-L-T-S-C-H. That is way too many consonants. That sounds like a Polish name, but it's not. I think it's German. I would have, if I were him, I would have eliminated three of those consonants. Make life easy. But anyway, here's what he had to say. He says, well, look, miracles don't happen today. That's what he said. We all know they don't happen today. So therefore, I don't believe they happened back in Jesus' day either. So these are just stories. I don't believe them. Okay. Now, I understand the reasoning behind what he's saying. And it's, you know, in a way, it kind of makes sense. But I have an answer for you, Ernst. They do happen today. And therefore, yes, we can believe that they happened way back when also. I have heard credible accounts of miracles overseas. We heard them last week, if you were here. Tony Rodriguez told us about some great miracles. I've heard from other missionaries some incredible things that people have seen and that have happened on the mission field. And I have even seen some miracles happen here in the United States. And I even experienced such a miracle once myself. And that's what I want to tell you about today. Here comes the testimony. It was 1985. Well, that's sort of modern, isn't it? when you're as old as I am, that's just yesterday, you know? I was 1 year into being a pastor in the second church I pastored. I had pastored another church for several years. And then I came to this church in the New York metro area, which is where I was born and raised. You know, you can't go home, right? And I found that I couldn't. And what the problem was in that church, you know, most churches treat their pastors with great love. Cypress Church is that way, and many and other churches, amen, and many churches that I have been to and pastored, they treat their pastors with great love. But this church, well, they were going through something special and different. You see, the founding pastor of the church had just retired after 30 years in ministry, and he was sitting right out there in the congregation every Sunday. Oh boy, I was warned by some friends of mine, this is not a good situation. If you go there, you're walking into a minefield. And I didn't pay any attention to them. And I found out, of course, they were right. And so I went in and I walked into a minefield. Things got off to a bad start, and then they got worse. Went down from there. And the criticism of me as pastor was unusually harsh and withering and constant, relentless, constant. My great sin was that I wasn't the other guy. Okay? And I became discouraged. And I started to question my call to ministry. Did I imagine that God called me into ministry? And after a time I found that I could hardly function day by day. And I felt like I was on the verge. I was coming up to a cliff, see? And here it was, and I'm just about to go over emotionally. I could feel it coming. Not good. Not good at all. And of course, I wondered, where's God in all of this? Well, then, just to make things a little worse, something else happened at the church picnic that summer. You know, sometimes we can't help ourselves as guys, you know, it's in our nature. We have to be competitive. All right. I was playing softball at a game. It's just a friendly game. You know, who cares who wins? Well, I did. You know, I was up, late in the game, and this was a chance. We had two guys on base. If I made it to base, we won the game. Okay, and I wanted to win the game. And so I got up there and I swung hard, but I just didn't quite connect right. And I topped the ball and it did all this spinning kind of stuff. And it went over kind of halfway up the third baseline and stopped. And I'm watching this and saying, I got to get over first base. I got to beat this out so that I can be safe. This guy can score and we win. All right. And, you know, I should have known better. I was kind of a middle-aged guy by this time, and running that hard down the first baseline was not the greatest idea, but I did it. I just took off. And I almost got the first base when, when my knee really went. I really tore it up. And I limped onto first base. I can't remember if I beat the throw or not. At this point, I look back on it and say, who cares? Who cares who won, right? But, you know, I was very concerned about that at the time. But, well, I was very messed up. My knee was very messed up. And this was just at a time, you know, everything else was going wrong anyway. Why add one more thing to it? But here's one more thing got added to it. And what I found was I had the same thing that I had had on the other knee a few years before that, and it took a year for it to get better. A year of limping around. Wow. And I thought, man, I am so depressed. Well, a few days later, a lady named Margo, a church member who was supportive, and Margo was, and is, a short, feisty, middle-aged Italian lady with a big heart, a heart of gold, and a wonderful, godly person. And she came into my office one morning, and she said, Pastor, how you doing? I said, I am doing awful. And I started to explain all this stuff to her. She says, I could see it in your face. That's why I came in. She said, I know you're doing awful. And she listened sympathetically. And then she said, she looked at me and she said, I am going to make you an offer you cannot refuse. I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? She said, you and Beth, my wife, are going with me to a healing meeting tonight at a nearby church. I can't do that. I've got a committee meeting tonight, and the committee chair doesn't like me. Not a fan, you know. If I don't show up at that committee meeting, I'm in big trouble. She says, don't worry about that. I've already talked to her. And she did balk a little bit, but I reminded her that I have relatives in the mafia. Okay, great sense of humor. So I said, well, who's going to watch our kids? She said, my husband. Does he know that? No. But he will. Okay. And sure enough, that evening, she and her husband, Jerry, show up at our place. And Jerry is all ready with his dinner, his nice steak dinner that he brought with him. And it goes into the house. We explain to him what you need to do with our children and everything else. We forgot to tell him about the dog. That was a mistake, you know. But you see, any time with that dog that you would lay any food anywhere near the edge of the counter or near the edge of the table, she got up and she ate it faster than you could count to 10. And so that night, Snoopy dined on steak. And Jerry had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Oh, well. In the meantime, we are at this wonderful healing meeting. And the worship was uplifting, much like it is on Sunday mornings here at Cypress. And the message from the pastor was about how Moses was followed by Joshua, and Joshua had a struggle with all that and a lot of self-doubts, and the people weren't quite sure about him. See? And I thought, wow, that sounds familiar, you know? And it was a great message. And the thing that God said to Joshua was, be strong and of good courage. And he says that over and over. It's like, you're repeating yourself, God. It's all right. He didn't get it the first time. All right. And then God says, I will go with you, to Joshua. And he was saying that to me. Well, then it came time for the physical healing, the healing part of the healing service. And the pastor said, all right, raise your hand if you need healing or something. I raised them both, you know, and I would have put my toes up too if I could have, you know, because man, I needed it. I needed it. I wanted that healing. And then he said, all right, I want people to gather around these people that have come for healing. And he stirred up our faith with a little bit of a talk about the power of God and how healing can and will still happen. And then the people in the group, they turned to me and they said, so what is it that you need? And I told them about my knee problem and about my feeling depressed about things and all the rest of it in kind of a brief way. And they gathered around me and they laid hands on me, on my head and my shoulder. And prayers were offered up for me. And about halfway through the time of prayers, you know, I'm sitting on a chair, okay, and suddenly there's this warm, tingly sensation in my knee. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I look down. Nobody's touching it. Well, somebody is touching it, actually. It's God, you know. This feeling, like I never felt this before. What is this? And then the pastor said to us, all right, all the people that have been prayed for, whatever you couldn't do before, now you do it. In faith, you step out and do it, okay? If you couldn't walk when you came in here, you get up and walk and then you run, okay? And so on. And so, you know, I got up from my chair and I said, oh, it's bending. That's good, because I came in there doing one of these jobs, you know. That was all I could do. And all of a sudden, well, it's bending. This is good. And I start walking a little bit. Oh, I can walk normally. Oh, And then I said, man, this is it. I'm going to go running. And so up and down the aisle I'm going, you know, like a crazy madman shouting hallelujah. And I was healed. Praise the Lord. What a amen. Thank you, God. I was overwhelmed with amazement. And so I think about, you know, all those times that there are miracles in the Bible, you know, and you read, and the crowd was astonished or the crowd was amazed. It's like, yep, I know about that. I know that feeling. Praise the Lord. In the days following, I reflected on this, and I was amazed that God knew about me personally and cared about me personally and did something. That was the thing that most amazed me, because, I mean, at that time, there were about 6 billion people in the world, and I think now is like 7.5 billion, and that's way too many people for God to know anything at all about me. You know, it's just... But I was underestimating him. God knew about my situation and stepped in. Not only did he heal me physically, he healed my spirit. I was delivered from a nervous breakdown or whatever the PC term is for it today. I don't know what they call it now. But that's what we used to call it way back then in ancient times, a nervous breakdown. And I was able to go forward with confidence and power. And it wasn't lost on me that God had thereby confirmed the call to ministry for me. That he was saying to me, in effect, your call is real. You're not getting out of it. All right, go forward. In my power, I will be with you. Well, praise the Lord. That's what I did. Now, those were just the short-term results. There were some major long-term results also. First of all, I believe in supernatural healing by the power of God. And I have believed it all the way through all the rest of my ministry. I sort of, in theory, believed it before that, but after this, I really believed it. Okay? And there have been people who've been healed in the churches I've pastored. Sometimes I laid hands on them, sometimes someone else did. I believe that God does this today. Secondly, whenever doubts have crept into my mind, and you know, we get attacked by doubts at times. I mean, maybe it's the flesh or maybe it's the devil or both. But, you know, we have times, we have moments of doubts. And when I first retired from ministry, I had one of those moments of doubt, see? I was sitting there kind of reviewing my life and thinking about it. I was doing a one-day retreat, spiritual retreat, and just going over all the stuff I had done in all these years of ministry and everything. And some little voice inside of me here, maybe that bad guy on the shoulder, right, was whispering, you wasted your life. It's not real. It's all a figment of your imagination, this Jesus stuff, this God stuff. It's not real. And I thought, oh boy, I wasted my whole life. How can this be, you know? But then I remembered that healing. And I said, oh no. It's real. I remember I could feel that healing. I know God touched me. I know God is real. I know Jesus is real. The Christian faith is real. I know it. And I feel it deeply in my soul. And the devil's never going to get me to think any other way. Did not waste my life. The only thing maybe I did wrong in my life is maybe I didn't go quite all out enough for him. Okay? And I think we all could say that, right? Well, praise the Lord. Remember that Pastor Mike in his sermon a couple weeks ago pointed out that miracles encourage faith in Jesus? That was one of the statements I had to fill in, the blank, I forget what word was missing, but I filled it in. Well, amen. That miracle renewed my faith in God's power at work in our lives. That miracle changed my life and my ministry. It has strengthened me in times of fear and discouragement. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it also reassured me that God cares about me as an individual. And as I thought about that, I thought, okay, and God cares about every one of you as an individual. You're not just a number. You're not just 1 out of 7.5 billion. God knows you personally and cares about you personally, whoever you are and wherever you've been. And that conviction guided my ministry throughout the years. But I also came to realize over time that even though God did in fact heal some people through my praying for them, it didn't always happen. And I sort of wondered sometimes, why is that? Well, I kind of have come to the conclusion that maybe we're not always going to get every miracle we ask for. God is not a puppet on a string. We can't just pull the string and say, God, here's what I want. You got to do it now. Or to put it another way, God is in charge. I am not. Okay? That dawned on me. So I think when it comes time to ask for a healing, if you are in need of a healing, you should go ahead and ask for it. Ask people to pray for you. Ask in faith. And then trust God to do what is best for you. Okay? All right. Second thing. There's a broader application I want to make this morning, and it relates to Easter. Well, Easter, that's gone, right? I mean, that ship has sailed, right? We're past it. Not really. See, if you were in a more liturgical church like Episcopal or Lutheran or Roman Catholic or any, or Presbyterian, I was once a Presbyterian minister. The people who are more liturgical, they follow the lectionary, and the lectionary says you have 7 Sundays of Easter season, and it's time to think about the resurrection for 7 straight Sundays. Well, good. And today, by the way, is the 4th. We're just in the middle of it. Okay, this is Easter season. Well, one of the great themes of the Easter season is this, that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you and me. Praise the Lord. And available to us not only to raise us from the dead someday, and that is a very good thing. And so don't want to downplay that at all, but also to raise us to new life and to powerful ministry here and now. Okay? And that's why the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10 declared, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He was talking about here and now, I do believe. Well, why do we need that power here and now? Well, because life is hard sometimes, right? Sometimes life is disappointing and disillusioning. And that disappointment can be with other people, but, well, let's be honest, sometimes the greatest disappointment is with ourselves. Right? We do something or say something utterly stupid, and we look back at it and say, why did I do that? What a fool. I knew better, and I just blew it. Right? I'm very disappointed with me, you may be feeling sometimes. Life is painful, and sometimes it can be full of tears. Life is hard. But God is good, as the saying goes. Sometimes life may be so hard that it looks like you're kind of stuck. It's like Groundhog Day, but you're stuck in Good Friday. Okay? It's just like, it's all death and darkness and sadness and betrayal and all kinds of dark stuff, right? Wow. But then we have to remember that Sunday is coming. Because, you see, we are Sunday people as Christians. We are Sunday people. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. And every day is a day that we can have the power that raised Jesus from the dead in us for us to go forward in our life. Wow, that's great stuff. Yes, there are times the things that we want to do in ministry seem impossible. Anybody who's been a pastor would know that, but I mean, even if you've been maybe a leader in the church in some way or other, and you've tried to do some kind of ministry or just taught a Sunday school class even, you know, and you say to yourself, it's impossible. How am I going to get through to these kids? You know, it seems some days like it isn't working. I don't know why. It just isn't working. Well, the spiritual forces of evil are out there. That's why it's not working at that moment, because they're working hard against you and against God and against Jesus. We may be attempting something great for the Lord, and we may feel like we are really in over our heads and it isn't working. And then we just need to remember that we have available to us the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power by which Jesus did miracles, like the miracle of this blind man that we talked about this morning. It is the power which raised Jesus from the dead. Praise the Lord. Do you think maybe that's enough power? We just need to believe God for that power. And that's why the Christian life has been described by the Apostle Paul as walking by faith. I love that picture because, you see, I sometimes want to get from here to somewhere about 10 miles up the road spiritually. And I have to remember, one step at a time, one day at a time. That's it. That's all you have. You can't go from anywhere except where you are. That's where you're starting. Wherever you are today, that's where you're starting. And you walk by faith every day, every hour. And then you know that the power that raised Jesus from the dead will be at work in your life. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for that power that's available to us. We pray that miracles will happen in our lives as you wish at times. Healings that perhaps are not miraculous in quotes on the surface, but are gradual, they will happen. And many, many good things will happen in our lives, as we will hear about more of these kinds of things in the Sundays to come. So, Lord, we thank you. And we pray that you'll help us to walk by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.